Welcome to Shifting the Narrative. Today I will speak on self-esteem, anxiety, just give you tips on how I deal with negative thoughts, how I still deal with negative thoughts, because majority of the time those thoughts in your head and those feelings are from a deeper issue, which is pretty much where it all started, your childhood and things that happen over the years, trauma that just shapes how you think, your thought process, and can make you feel, you know, lonely or depressed and just not worthy. So I really just want to talk about my journey in that and how I deal with it and still deal with it. So yeah, let's dive in. So I'll start with probably my number one biggest issue, self-esteem. You would never think I have self-esteem issues because I don't show it. If I'm in public or out, I'm either very quiet and I just observe, or if in my work environment, I'm very confident and I show that confidence, especially when it comes to the work environment, because I like to be the best I can be. And sometimes trying to be a perfectionist or like focusing on, my whole focus was on the word successful. What is successful? I'm not successful. So that was always my motivation. That kept me going. I just always wanted to be the best. But I didn't have confidence at all. I have very low self-esteem. Not so much now. I still have it, still struggle, but I know how to deal with it, and I know why I think the way I do from going to therapy and learning these are the issues I'm really facing. It's my little inner child voice telling me this, but your inner child voice lies to you, and it's just because that's just not, you were never nurtured when you were a kid to have confidence or to feel good about yourself, especially with how social media is and just women's confidence levels. Like, I have the biggest problem of comparing myself to other people. I still do that to this day. So it's always a constant battle working on it. Just trying to get through those negative thoughts and understand that feelings lie to you and they're not 100% accurate, especially when your past is coming up within those thoughts and feelings. So some things I didn't even really know I had self-esteem issues when I was in high school. I honestly didn't even know until I went to therapy. Because I just never thought of it. I know I talked in my thoughts. I was just really hard on myself. I would just be so angry at myself if I didn't succeed at something, or I'd be so angry at myself if someone did me wrong, because I have horrible trust issues. So I get so mad at just even giving this person a little trust, and I would just beat myself up day and night because of it. And it just obviously goes down a rabbit hole when you do that, and you get depressed, and then you distance yourself from people and you're lonely, and you might turn to toxic habits. I would drink a lot. I smoked weed a lot. Didn't do anything. I ate horrible food, nothing healthy. Carbs were my friend. They made me feel better. But at the end of the day, did they really make me feel better? No, I would most of the time just go to sleep. I slept for hours and days. It seemed like I never would get out of bed if I felt that someone betrayed me. So something that I've learned, I feel so trapped in my thoughts, and it's just from all the negative mental abuse, emotional abuse from when I was a kid. And I never felt worthy enough, never felt good enough. The biggest thing was my looks, because I just felt like little things would happen and it started building up, like, oh, what's wrong with my face? Like, I had the worst thoughts about my face. I couldn't even go to sleep without makeup on, because I just felt so uncomfortable with like looking at my natural beauty, I guess. So it was just very, very hard. And that was one thing I really struggled with. And I knew I struggled with that, but I never understood like why I started struggling with that. But I had horrible acne as a kid. Like any teenager has horrible acne because of puberty. So I would go to dermatologists and I would try, but kids at school would be kind of mean about it. And it wasn't even that bad. It wasn't even like horrible acne. I could definitely cover it up with makeup. You might see little bumps here and there, but it was just how I looked at myself in the mirror. But I remember my papa making a comment about how he told me to get a pencil so he can play connect the dots on my face. And like, I mean, it was funny at the time, but if you look back, like that was shaping how I was looking at myself, like his comment. And I remember my dad, like overhearing my dad tell my mom, like, are you taking her to the doctor to, you know, heal her acne? And that just made me feel bad too. Cause it's like, does it matter? Like if I have acne or not, I'm not, you know, it's like he wanted me to be perfect. So that's where I get the perfectionist, because I feel like I need, because we would play sports for hours if, you know, he would want me to be the best of the best at times. So that's where the perfectionist comes in. But all those little comments along the way made me feel like my face, I just had something horribly wrong with my face. Even when I didn't even have acne. I got rid of acne when I was like 17, 18 years old. And I did a lot for my face, took care of it. But a lot of that has to come with just growing up and your diet, what you eat, your drinking, the thing I've learned along the way. But now I don't struggle with the way my face looks anymore. I actually hardly even wear makeup because I just don't like it all on my face. But to do that, I had to go through a lot of just like figuring out how to change my thoughts, which was like the number one, is and still to this day, a number one hardest thing to ever do. But one thing I learned in therapy was the 3-second rule, which is you acknowledge your thought, you change your thought. You don't think of that negative thought for more than 3 seconds, and then you change to like maybe I am ugly to I am not ugly. I'm actually very beautiful inside. I just need to work on why I'm feeling, why this false feeling is making me feel ugly. So it's just acknowledging that negative thought and then changing it within 3 seconds. Lot harder, easier said than done. For sure. There's times that I would just be so mentally exhausted that I just let my negative thoughts take over, because at the end of the day, like, I was just so exhausted. It's just like, it is what it is. Like, this is just how I'm gonna be for the rest of my life. But that's just, again, going with depression and not doing nothing healthy, and especially drinking and going out to bars does not help when you're depressed or you have negative thoughts. All the time. So that was one thing I really had to cut out of my life. I didn't do it immediately. I still, you know, drank a lot, but Actually, I didn't even start changing. All this growing didn't even happen until about 7 years ago. Ever since I was 18 to 24, 25, I guess I'm exaggerating 7 years ago because I'm 29. So it would have been like 23. I was 16 to 23 is when I really started, was when I just had negative thoughts all the time, constantly dealing with like myself, and just, it was just so horrible. Until finally, in a little 2019, I decided I'm just gonna go to therapy. But that's because I was really going off the edge. I was not in a good place at all. So something I started doing that I learned is, and it's so hard at times to still do this because I just think it's like corny and stupid, and it's just my own fault, and it's not, it really isn't. It's just what you have to do to make you feel the way, you know, to change your thoughts and feelings on how you feel about yourself and give yourself self-love. But I do write down affirmations in the morning. Not every morning. I don't do it all the time because I do have a kid and he keeps me busy. But I used to keep a sticky note by the mirror, so I would just see it. And I might not even say it, maybe out loud, maybe in my head. I would just, you know, I am worthy. I am confident. I am loved. I am capable, I am strong. I like, even just like looking at it and saying it in your head, like you're changing the way you think about yourself, just, you know. And another thing I started doing, which really helped, is I got this journal and it's called the Legend Planner. There's different ones. This is actually my second one because I finished my whole first one, but it's so nice. Like, journaling is so good for your mind. I have a journal, and I'll eventually get, cause it's down south, to read little sections out just to show you like my thoughts back then to now. Because I wrote down every negative thought, every negative feeling, just everything that was even going on in my life, like between boyfriend drama to family drama to just the loneliness, to not wanting to live anymore. I wrote down literally everything because it was just so nice to get it off my chest. Crying helped. I don't cry or I don't write or tell anyone, like no one knows. I keep it very secret because that's where the feeling of embarrassment and I don't want sympathy comes from. And I don't want to be that way. I don't want people to think of me that way either. That was the biggest thing, is I don't want someone to think I'm this vulnerable, like sad person. So when I was out, I always had fun with people. No one ever knew that I was actually probably really depressed, except for my boyfriend at the time. Like, we would just fight. It wouldn't even be like, I wouldn't even show sadness because I would just, my feelings, I would hide my true feelings with anger. So I was just an angry person, and I would just be mean, and I was very toxic, and my relationships were toxic. It was just not good. And a lot of it had to do with me. It was also the people I chose to be around too, because you attract what you are. So even though you might portray yourself like you're a very happy, confident person, deep down I was very sad and lonely and depressed. And those people I were around that were drinking and having fun too were the same way. They were sad, lonely, and depressed. So we just became a clique, you know, a group, and no one knew that about one another. But you see, hear things, you know, sometimes about like, oh, this person was struggling with this, or, you know, it's, everything starts to come to light after a while, because you can only hide it for so much and you can only deal with it by yourself with so much until you just want to explode. But anyway, something I started doing, especially when I was going through a really hard time, is I got this journal. It's really nice because it does the awareness and self-discovery. So it goes from financial to mental to goals, things what you want to, you know, things that you want to succeed in life. You know, it goes to what does a perfect day look like for me, what's important to me, you know, your vision. It even gives you options to write down your dreams, so, you know, your bucket list. And then you go to your most important life goals. You make a vision board. Then you have a one-year goal. And then you'll have your three-month goals. So, you know, just helps you take baby steps into being, completing what you want to complete. It has like a my strategy section. So like it helps you what you need to do to learn to achieve those goals. Like for instance, I still to this day write how to control my negative thoughts, because even though I know how to, I just need to. And sometimes, like I said, you just get exhausted and you don't want to even worry and deal with that. You just let those thoughts run through your mind. But it gives you like your daily rituals. So maybe what you want to do in the mornings to make you feel good every morning. It doesn't even have to be like extravagant, just like drink a glass of water and sit for 5 minutes in peace. That's what I like to do. It does, and I'm grateful for, because it's always good to still be grateful and look at the positive in your life, that even though you can't see. So when you have to write your gratitude, it really just changes your thoughts, like, oh, maybe my life isn't that bad like I think it is. Then you write down your affirmations. You do have this in here. So I wrote down one, I am rich in love and kindness. That was one of mine I wrote. And there's a lot. You can write so much. And you actually write down negative people that you want to avoid, that you want to cut out of your life. You write down positive people that you want to spend more time with, because at the end of the day, you don't want to surround yourself with negative people, because that will just bring you down even more and make you more negative. So here is 3 month goals and your tactics, like how are you going to complete these goals. And I don't complete everything that I need to do in this journal. It's just a guide, and I look back on why I didn't complete it, and a lot of times it has to do with my feelings or thoughts or my energy. I just get down. But I always think I have the next day to start again, like to start it up, because I don't beat myself up on it. And I try not to beat myself up on it if I don't succeed, because at the end of the day, you have time. You have the next day to refresh and try to do what you wanted to accomplish the day before. It has a calendar where you can do like what your monthly goals is that month. And then you reflect on that month and see what you completed, what you didn't, what you want to do better next month. And then you have your weekly. So I have my habit tracker, you have your to-do list, your personal and your work, your this week's main goal. So my main goal is to stay eating healthy, because I haven't been eating healthy the last forever, it seems like. I've just been wanting bad food, which affects your mental health as well. So it's just so good. And then you have this week's wins and how I'll improve next week. And then usually during the week, I usually write down, like right here, I just write down my feelings, how I felt that day. So that will be like my journal, instead of doing like because I already have a to-do list on one side, so where I can write just on each day, I just write how I'm feeling that day, or what triggered me, because that's something that I really had to understand, is what triggers me, what makes me feel this way, what is the trigger, and why do I have that as a trigger? And a lot of times, it goes back, majority of the times, unless it goes back to my early 20s, things that happened there, a lot of times it goes back to my childhood. And the things that happened in my early 20s, it started from my childhood. So if if everything was different, then I would have never experienced what I did in my 20s, and I probably wouldn't experience now. So everything just starts from your childhood and what happens and the events and how you feel and what, you know, it just shapes everything. When I went to therapy, I will put this, if you're watching the video, I'll put this up on the video just so you can see it. But she drew this triangle, and this was literally at my lowest point. So she drew this triangle, and she wrote on the top, your thought. So my thought was, I am a problem. And so my feeling was, I feel like a problem, but feelings lie. So we had to change that, which goes back to the 3-second rule. I know I was created for a purpose. And then it goes back to, and then it goes to your feeling, because when you're feeling, I am a problem, you're feeling, or when you go back to your thought, I am a problem, you're feeling embarrassed, or I'm feeling embarrassed, sad, and alone. But if I change that to, I know I was created for a purpose, then that can change your feeling to happy, or, you know, just joyful. And then you have your thought, and then your feeling, and then your behavior. So because I thought I am a problem, I'm feeling embarrassed, sad, and alone, my behavior was to isolate and I just wanted to die. But if I change that to, I know I was created for a purpose, I become happy, and my behavior comes helping myself and helping others, because that's what I enjoy doing. I just enjoy helping others, and not so much since I've had a kid, which I really should, because I want to teach him how to give and help others. But when I was alone, for many years, I would just go help people that needed help, you know, the homeless, or I give money, or whatever I needed to do for myself. And that's just what I did. But that thought, I am a problem, comes from my inner child voice, which is, was always not wanted. Cause it was just, I just felt unwanted as a kid, which is an error. So things that I get triggered with, or my negative thoughts, a lot of that is just my inner child talking. And that inner child doesn't understand, that is completely wrong, because that inner child never got the love and support that she needed. So the biggest thing is blocking out your inner child voice, because the way my therapist explained it is that where your trauma started, that's pretty much the little girl talking to you. So if, you know, my trauma started at 14 years old, I have a 14-year-old girl talking to me about my feelings and thoughts, and she's telling me I should feel this way, when in reality I shouldn't. So it's just really looking at back at events that happened in your childhood, to reason why you feel and think that way. A lot of mine comes from the just negative talk. It was just never a good job. It was just always just, you're doing wrong. You can do better. You know, you need to change this. It was just never, there's nothing ever positive said. Even to this day, and the reason why I cut my mom out of my life is she couldn't just hold a conversation with me. It has to be, there's death there's, you know, in the world, there, the world is horrible, it's so dangerous, it's negative. It's, you know, there was nothing ever positive out of her mouth. If, you know, something like when I started my own agency for insurance, she didn't even say, you know, good job and I'm proud of you, which I don't know why I strive so hard to get that out of her. A lot of it is just to prove to her that that was like my biggest thing of wanting to be successful, is to prove to them that I can do it and I don't need you. But I never, it was never like, I'm proud of you. I remember her just thinking about it. It became silence on the phone, and she just thought about it, and she was just like, it's like, she was just like unhappy. And same for my sister. My sister is going, she's going to school right now to be a nurse, an RN. And that's just very exciting for her. Like, kudos to her. She's completing it. She's succeeding. You know, she's passing everything. But our mom could not be happy for her. Like, that's very, like, she would make it so difficult for her to even do school, because my sister does have 3 kids. So nothing was ever easy. It was just always negative. And there was never, like, my sister couldn't even talk to my mom about what she was learning in school, because my mom would be like, oh no, that's wrong, or that's not how that you're supposed to do it, or they're just completely wrong. And because she did go to nursing school for a year, but she didn't complete it because she changed careers, so she just felt that she knew it all. So my sister couldn't even talk to her about it. Something also that helped with my self-esteem is just doing healthy things, honestly. Working out, I became like obsessed with working out. Not so much now. I mean, I still work out, but not as hard. But I became so obsessed with working out. Like, I had to be at a gym every day. I was researching nutrition. That was like my escape. That was my coping with everything. And I think it's good to have like a way to cope with things. Just make sure you're not doing it for a distraction or to numb out what your true feelings, because that's kind of what I did my whole life up until therapy, is I would work. I literally worked so much that I just never got to sit down to even think about anything. And if I wasn't working, I was on a go with friends and drinking. And then the little time I had to myself, that's when like everything would hit. And then I would be like, I gotta go to work. So I worked constantly. I became a workaholic. And finally, I just kind of winged out of that and didn't, because I was just getting exhausted with that as well. And the fact that I wasn't even living life. Like, I wasn't doing nothing fun. Like, I wasn't traveling, and I love to travel, so I started doing that instead of working. But no, working out really helped with just how I looked at myself. I felt more confident for sure. And then I changed my eating. That helped too, because I didn't feel like so sluggish. And I still eat bad. But I always try to switch back to eating healthy, because I can definitely tell when I eat bad that I'm just so exhausted and I start feeling bad about myself, especially since I ate clean for so long and then I would eat bad. Like, looking at myself, I just be like, why did I do that? Like, and then I would beat myself up for doing that. But it's okay to eat unhealthy every once in a while. Like, you can do that, and then you just start the next day eating clean again. You don't have, you know, you shouldn't beat yourself up just because you eat unhealthy. Like, right now I'm pregnant, so for some reason all I want is McDonald's, and that's the most disgustingest food ever. I've ate more McDonald's in the last 2 months than I had probably in the last 10 years. Like, I never ate fast food like that, but for some reason, I don't know, I just want McDonald's. But I am trying to control that craving, and I've been switching my food and always having food ready for me that's healthy, just to stop that craving and change. Like, also it's my fault too, because I get lazy and be like, oh, I can just go have a Big Mac and be done. But no, I am changing that thought, how I think about what food I should eat. And so I am going back to eating healthy, which is going back to help making me feel better about the way I look, especially since I'm gaining weight because I'm pregnant, which shouldn't be that way because you're creating something beautiful. So that's what I have to remind myself. Like, I'm not going to be like, after I have this baby, I can start working out again and being very strict and disciplined with myself to achieve, you know, the body goal, go back to what I used to look like. I can do that. You know, it's okay to have patience and time, and, you know, you don't have to. If you just start somewhere, that's all that matters. Like, if that's all that matters. And eventually you get in a habit and it just makes you feel better too. And you're not even going to want bad food or miss a workout, because that's how very, very, I used to be when I was going to therapy. I would start working out a lot and eating a lot and learning a lot. I end up getting my nutrition coach certificate because I was just so passionate about fitness and health, which I am still, but I realized it was more, I enjoyed it more when it was for myself. And not that I wouldn't help people that want, you know, to lose weight or need guidance and eating healthy and stuff. I would definitely help them, but I didn't want to make a career out of it because I lost the enjoyment out of it. So I enjoy doing it for myself and how it makes me feel and how my thoughts are more positive. And I do get self-confidence. Like, I do get tremendous self-confidence after I go to the gym for at least a week. I start looking at myself a different way in the mirror, and I just feel tremendous, like 100% better, and I have more energy, and it's just so much better. But with all the self-esteem issues did come with anxiety, and I had horrible anxiety. Not so much. I do still have anxiety at times. I'm very quiet if I have, like, if I'm having like a little episode to myself or I feel a certain way, because I can just feel this tingling in my body. Like, it's just such a weird feeling. Like, if I start feeling, like it coming. So I never really believed in like anxiety, or I guess I never really thought I would have anxiety. I knew I had depression. That was just very like common sense, just because of how I was acting and how sad I was. But anxiety, I don't understand anxiety. So I don't get why I'm having anxiety, or how I became having anxiety. But it was more just like not knowing. And because my mom was very controlling, I tried to control things too. I never tried to control people like she did. At times, I guess I was very manipulative. So I might not tell them they couldn't do something, but I would feel a certain way and act a certain way to get my way. And I can still catch myself doing that now, which is not healthy in my relationship. So I try to work on that, because at the end of the day, it goes back to my triggers, my feelings, my thoughts, from just your childhood. So, and that inner child voice comes up again and just is yapping in my ear. So I have to like shush her up at times. But anxiety, because I started having horrible, so when I would have anxiety, I would fight it so bad, which is probably the worst thing you can do. And I would have anxiety, and then we'll go to a panic attack, and I would just start hyperventilating, and I would just like want to crawl out of my skin. Like, I just couldn't be in my skin. So something my therapist told me to do is the cold water therapy, which I took a lot of cold showers. I would just jump in and take a cold shower. Or I just sit in the cold shower because it would just send your body in shock, and it's just like a whole reset for your body pretty much. And it worked. And sometimes I would just stay in there because it just, even though it was so cold, it just felt so good to just be calm. So that really helps. Or like if I had anxiety at work, I would just go to the bathroom. And this didn't help as much, but it did calm me down. It didn't put me in like that severe stage of like, no one knew I had anxiety going on. Like I would just go in the bathroom and run my hand under cold water and, you know, for a few minutes, and then I would come back out and I would still have a little bit of anxiety inside, but I would just really focus on my task or breathing or just like thinking of something positive. I love the beach, so I always just thought of like just sitting at the beach and listening to the waves. So I always just try to change, just change where I'm at in my head and just go to fairyland or daydream, whatever you want to call it. Just go to a different universe pretty much. Something I don't or haven't really done that much, unless I never really done it, but she did tell me about it. I had to write it down because I don't do it that much, but I know sometimes it could help if you're out, you know, at an event or something. You can do the 5-4-3-2-1 grounding technique. So it's like you find five things you can see, and then you look, then you try to find four things you can touch, and then three things you can hear, and then two things you can smell, and then one thing you can taste. Which, looking back at when I was at parties or work events or, you know, whatever was going on, if I was not in a place where I can cope with my own anxiety my way, I would kind of just find something to distract me. Food, desserts was always like, if there's desserts or just anything that's just comforting was my thing, my go-to. But that's also not, that can sometimes not be good because alcohol was my coping too. So I would just be like, okay, I want a few drinks. And the thing is, I just can't have a few drinks. I want to keep going because I'm having so much fun after the few drinks. So I just keep going and going and going, and then I'm drunk. Which is not good, because once I get drunk, that's when all my depression and feelings, and I start blabbing out like how I feel inside and my thoughts, and it's just like such an unhealthy way to cope with your struggles. So something I had to, alcohol itself, I just had to give up. And I still occasionally might have like a few drinks here and there, but I know my tolerance very well, so I don't ever get like drunk. I just get tipsy, and I can just put it down now, because I don't like feeling crappy in the mornings. So that helps too. But the biggest thing was for me was just to heal everything, and I'm still trying to heal things. Instead of finding distractions like work and partying and going out, and just not, and ignoring it in relation, because in my relationships, like I ignored my feelings because I didn't have to deal with how I felt. I just focused on that person, and I gave that person literally, I did everything I could, which is not good or healthy, because you're pretty much, you know, you're doing everything you can for this person, even if that person is mean to you or emotional, you know, abusive, or, you know, you just try, it's like you're trying so hard to get like that worthiness from someone else, when really you just need to change it in your mind that you feel worthy. Which I still have that struggle till this day of feeling good enough, because I just feel like I haven't done enough to feel good enough. If that makes sense, it's like I'm just not, I don't feel, and I should be successful because, or feel successful because I done my own insurance agency. I have a beautiful family. I've accomplished, you know, I got insurance license. That's like an accomplishment. Actually, I got all my insurance licenses. And then I got my nutrition certificate. And then, like, I'm constantly doing stuff to grow as a person. So I don't know why I don't feel successful. And I think the biggest thing is because I don't even know what successful is or what successful is like even in my mind. Like, I just know the word successful and that's it. Like, so that's something I'm really trying to struggle or trying to change now, because now that I'm having a second kid, my work daycare is so expensive. So I'm been going up and down, like, should I work or wait till the kid gets a little older and put him in school so I'm not paying for two kids at daycare, because then that's almost over $2,000 a month. So I'm really struggling with, like, being a stay-at-home mom, and because I feel like being, to me, I know it's really hard to be a stay-at-home mom, and I know tons of women that do it, and they are always on a go, and they're probably, they work really hard with all those kids. I know I have one kid, but I know with two kids or more, it's a lot of work. But to me, I just feel like that's just not successful, and I really have to change that thought, because it's, I mean, you can be successful doing that. It is successful. You're taking care and teaching your kids how to learn, you know, learning and growing as a person, and you're watching them, you're being part of their life. Like, you're, it's not like you're working all the time and you're not ever part of their life. You're actually the center of their life now when you're a stay-at-home mom, and, you know, whatever they learn is from you. So that could be, I don't know why, I just don't think it's successful, but it is successful. Like, so that's something I'm really struggling with and trying to change, because I think I'm just not going to go back to work until my second kid is a year old. So, but still up in the air. I just really have to change my thought and be okay with being at home, even though we would be running and I would have my own little goals I would set for myself to learn still and to grow as a person, because that's what I strive to do, and that's what helps me feel better about myself and more confident. Because I'm one of those people, I don't like to not know, which sometimes I can't control situations or control events or control things, and I really just let that go. So I try to control what I can learn and know, so I just don't like feeling dumb, I guess. That's like another issue I have too. I guess I was taught to, so like a kid, like, you're dumb. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. Or still to this day, like, if I get advice from my dad, I'm just like, dude, I've done and accomplished way more than you ever have. I understand what I need to do. You don't want, and a lot of it's his guilt too, because he has a lot of guilt. And he just tries to help, and I understand that, which is why when I went to therapy and learning about myself and how my mom was, I spoke a lot, obviously, about my mom in therapy, and it really made me look on the outside of the box, so I understood, like, why she's the way she is, and I know this might be, like, tougher for individuals that don't have a mom, because you don't know what you don't know, which my sister Allie can speak on that. So I'll be interviewing her in the near future. So if there's anyone that needs help with just never having a mother, she is probably the number one person I would recommend, just because I've seen how strong she is as an individual. But I just lost my train of thought. Sorry. No, so it's just seeing where she, what, how she treated us, and then learning about, I don't really know much about her childhood, but seeing that she had a lot of trauma in her life and she was always searching for love, and that's why she chose her boyfriends over her kids, is because she just wanted to feel loved and worthy so much that she would literally do anything for the guys. Like, she would just do so much. And the thing is, with my mom, she doesn't know how to give affection or show emotion, really. And she was always very mean and mentally abusive. But she's a very materialistic person. So if she gave us everything from a roof over our head to food, granted, I mean, we didn't have much money or growing up or anything, but we had enough to just be fine, you know, and comfortable. So she thinks we owe her because she did that. And that's where the confusion gets. It's like, you're a mother, you're supposed to do that for your kids, and you don't respect the return. Just like when you give to the needy, you don't respect that, you don't expect them to give you something back in a week or 2 months, you know. You're just doing it out of the kindness of your heart, or because you're the mother, like you're supposed to do that for your kids. But she always thought we owed her something, and we're the reason why things, her life didn't turn out the way it did. It just goes on. Like, she blames us for so much. She has like resentment, and that's fine. That's on her at the end of the day. But I understood. My therapist helped me understand, like, she has a lot of trauma, and she didn't handle her PTSD, which, the way she explained it to me is like, if you don't handle your PTSD, it can progress to another mental, like mental problem, which is, what did she say? It was, like personality disorder or something like that. So it just, like, her PTSD, I guess, just kept progressing. So now she's just like, because she does some weird things, or she used to do some weird things when I would talk to her, and it was just like, what are you doing? And my sister seen it firsthand, like the things she did. And it's just like, her mind is just so confused that she just doesn't know what to do or what to believe or how to act and how to feel. But, and that's why she's involved in churches, because she wants to convince people she's a good person, and she does give a lot. She's a very materialistic person, and she gives and gives and gives, and she does, but the problem is she expects a return, and that's just not, you just can't respect, you know, she just can't do that. It does for the wrong reasons. But I was able to forgive her for everything, for the most part. You know, I just don't like talking about my past, so I'd rather just keep it my past and not talk about it. But I did forgive her. But we just can't have a relationship because she's still toxic and very, just very a negative person, and that's just not. And she triggers me like crazy if I try talking to her. And I gave her a chance this past year, one more chance this past year to have a relationship with me. And her grandchild, and I'm to the point where it's just like I did everything I did. I'm very fully satisfied. You know, I had boundaries with her. She overstepped those boundaries. Told her what would happen if she overstepped those boundaries, and she doesn't care. So that's on her at the end of the day, and not me. So I'm fully satisfied with it. But at the end of the day, when I see other people with moms, like a good mom-daughter relationship, it still makes you sad at times, because you just wish you could have that, but I know I'll never have that. And maybe one day when my sons get married, I can just have a great mother-daughter-in-law relationship. So look forward to that in the future. And then me and my mother-in-law, I'm trying to I'm trying to have a relationship with her. It's more me than her. I just kind of, I'm still dealing with the fact that I don't have a mom and daughter relationship with my mom, and I'm okay with that because I know it's for the best, but I still have, I like to isolate myself still, which is not the best thing I should do. But I'm slowly learning. I'm still growing. So yeah, I hope any of my tips or stories can help you. And I would love to hear from other women that struggle with this, because I think we should learn from one another. You can never stop learning new things. And yeah, so I hope y'all have a great day.